All right, we are in the book of Luke, Luke 6, verses 43 through 49. Luke 6, 43 through 49. And today we are going to finish the Sermon on the Plain, or the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in it over a month. So Luke 6, 43 through 49. Terrible echo up here. If that matters. Is that better? A little bit? Yeah, I think it's because those mics are still on. 43 through 49. And these are all red letters. This is Jesus speaking all of this today. So keep that in mind. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Excuse me. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for this day today, Lord God. May your spirit fill this place. May we just sense and feel your presence continued here this morning. Give us a clarity of mind this morning, Lord God. Help us to receive your word. Father, keep me accurate. Keep me faithful to the text. Touch my lips with grace, Lord God. Father, we come here to hear truth. We come to hear the words of Jesus, which are the essence of truth. And we ask that you would just speak to us this morning. Speak deeply into our hearts this morning. We praise you. We just praise and glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. All right, so this is it. This is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, or the Sermon on the Plain, as it's known in Luke. Just because there's just enough difference there, right? But what's so interesting about this, I mean, we just got done reading it. This is the end of a sermon, right? And what's so interesting is how Jesus ends this. Like, it ends with these two stories, these two parables, right? And he gives us these stories, and they're meant to just leave us here thinking through it, just thinking over our role as believers and what ultimately is our responsibility and our duty, right, to get the most out of the life that he's provided for us. And what's so genius about this, which is so Jesus, right, is that each story is like totally, it's ambiguous. I mean, there's no specific details on the people or the places or anything like that. It's left open. That's the beauty of a parable, right? They're these simple images that come into our mind that we can understand and then we can apply. And when we apply it, it's different with each person. It's totally different. And so these very visual images he puts before us in this way that, so we think about it, right? Hopefully long after his sermon's done, after he's left and the people are sitting there and they go home, hopefully they're thinking about the words that he spoke. and they're letting them sink in. It's not just a surface type of topical preaching that Jesus is doing. This is like real deep self-check type of stuff, right? Jesus wants them, and he wants us to like chew on what he says. He wants us to spend the time considering the words that are in this sermon. And it's not just today's words, but it's this whole sermon, this past 4 or 5 weeks that we've been in this. So if you've missed some of it, then I encourage you to go back and listen to it online. Or you know what? Don't even do that. Just read your Bible, right? And just get into it and really look at what Jesus is saying here, like the meat of it. All right. So the whole point is that Jesus isn't ending this sermon, and he's not doing it in a way to argue a point. He's not doing this so, he's trying to convince us of anything. He's just allowing the listener to take in what he says and then honestly reflect on those words and then look at how our lives fall within that framework. Okay? And then hopefully we do something about it to make a change if necessary, if we will, to begin a process that brings us closer to Jesus and the way that he's going, right? So the question is, which way are we heading right now, right? That's the question that as we go through the text, we should constantly be asking ourselves, what way am I going right now as compared to what Jesus is saying? So these two stories that we're going to get into this morning. The first story is two different kinds of trees, right? You have a good tree and a bad tree. Good tree has good fruit. The bad tree has bad fruit. Pretty simple, right? Second story, two houses. One is built on a solid foundation. One is built on the sand. One withstands a storm. The other one is washed away in the storm. Okay? Trees and houses. That's how he ends the sermon, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to see that in both of these, everything is about the unseen. Everything is about what's going on below the surface. It's a real unique and interesting way to end a sermon. Jesus doesn't leave us with like, here's your 5 life applications for the text today, right? He doesn't back it up at the end with like a quote from some biblical scholar. He just simply leaves us with these two stories to do with them whatever we want. What are we going to do, right? What are we going to do with them? So we get the two stories, and what they do is they reveal paths. And I want you to keep that in your mind, that each story reveals two separate paths that can be taken. And this is true through all of our life, that there's always paths that we choose. And what Jesus is doing is saying, as you choose these paths, think about these stories. Think about not just the obvious, but think about the unseen. Think about the deeper implications of what's going on and the result of those choices. So, all right, we got to remember that Jesus is speaking to who here? These are believers, right? These are people who believe in him. They believe in God, right? And that's great. That's great. But what Jesus is doing right here is he's calling them to go deeper, right? He wants us to go deeper. And that's what he's laying before us here, to consider that. As he says, you know, okay, you guys believe, right? We believe. But are we willing now to go down this path over here? Are we really willing to take this path over here? And he's talking about his sermon, how he outlines everything. Are you really willing to look at the poor and see them as rich? Are you really willing to do that? Are you really willing to to look at people who have wronged you, people who are in your face, people who don't like you, and are you willing to love them? Can you look at other people, and are you willing then to not judge them based on superficial things, based on surface things that only we can see or the very little bit that we know? And he's saying, it's deeper. It's so much deeper. Are we willing to take that path? Let's look at his words and let's see if we are, right? Verse 43, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. So here we have this comparison, right? Jesus makes this example, and the example is tailored to his audience, right? We have an audience that is a farming community. They're an agrarian community. They're going to understand what he's talking about here as he's talking about trees and the care that goes into planting a vineyard and the care that goes into planting an orchard and the care that goes behind getting the trees and the vines to bear fruit. Okay, that's what he's saying. These people know that. And he says, there are two trees. There's two trees, a good one and a bad one. Which one do you think is going to bear good fruit? The good one, right? It's not a trick question. There's not some like cryptic message under there. Oh, really? Well, actually, you know, it has a hidden disease. That's not where he's going. It's very plain to see. And that's his intent here, because obviously the healthy tree, and in the text, that word it uses is like magnificent. It's like, it's just a beautiful tree, right? That tree is going to produce better fruit than the tree that has not been taken care of. Maybe the tree that's surrounded by thorns, that's, you know, trying to establish itself. It's not getting the nutrients it needs, right? So can we all agree then? Yes, the healthy tree is the good tree that bears good fruit, right? Good? All right, let's move on. 44, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. So here's what Jesus is doing. He's having us ask, okay, how do I identify the tree, the particular kind of fruit tree it is? Like, what's the evidence, if I'm looking at a bunch of fruit trees, what is the evidence that certain trees are healthy? What do fruit trees show us at a certain season to show us that things are going pretty good, right? They bear fruit. So is the tree doing what it should be doing? Like, there's the apple tree. Is it producing apples? Yeah. Well, great. Then it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. There's the berry bush. Is it producing berries? Yes, it is. Great. Then it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. If the apple tree's not producing apples, then, okay, it's not doing what it should be doing. What does it need? What can we do to help it get there so that it will be doing what it's supposed to be doing? And so, see, it's all about the environment, right? It's about the soil it's in. It's about the condition of its fruit. Then we look at it and we say, okay, yeah, that tree is thriving, so it's producing fruit. It must be in a good place. He's making this point really clear, right? For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush, right? People, that's easy. Like, you're not going to go to a thorn bush and expect to get a fig out of there, right? He's saying, this is so, so obvious, guys. Do you see this? Do you see how plain this is to see? That a fig should come from a fig tree. Grapes should come from grapevines. People are going to expect certain fruit from certain trees, right? And if the fruit's not there, they're going to likely walk away from that tree because something's not right. This is confusing to me, right? This isn't this doesn't seem like it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. All right, so what do we grab from this teaching? I mean, so trees on the outside, they look the same. If it's early spring, all these trees are looking the same. But then in the fall, when they bear fruit, what's going to distinguish them from the other trees? The fruit, right? If they're bearing fruit or not. So, and then the fruit indicates if the tree is healthy or is it where it's supposed to be. All right, so now Jesus takes this and he applies it to us. He applies it to the listener. Verse 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So he's going to explain it to us. And what Jesus is doing is he's taking that story, the story of the trees bearing fruit, and now he's applying it to our lives. If we didn't like already get this, he's going to do it, right? So 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. So where are treasures usually kept? Like, do you keep your treasures out in the open or are they hidden away? Think like a pirate treasure, right? They're buried, right? So out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. Now, this is important. This is important because the treasure is hidden, right? Just like the fruit in the tree is hidden until it's time for it to bear its fruit, right? In the right season, then it's going to do that. So what Jesus is saying is this, before anything else, a change has to occur in the deepest, most hidden secret recesses of your heart, right? It's the unseen part of our lives. There needs to be a change in that. It must be so radical that it's going to change the total trajectory and the direction that you're heading, the path that you're choosing. The change has to be at the very core, all right? And the very last thing that Jesus is saying that a follower of him is going to look like is someone with just these outward motions, but on the inside, they're exactly opposite of what he's saying. Like, they're still hating each other. They're still, like, creating division. They're still even hating their enemies, which is so hard to get over. They're still judging each other and looking at each other and making these rash judgments. And he's saying, that's not what this is, guys. It's deeper, right? All these things that Jesus brings up in his sermon. But if we're to bear fruit, if we're to bear the good fruit, our lives need to be established with this deep personal change that only occurs when we fully surrender to Jesus. So we give him the control, and then we let him take care of the tree, right? He's going to take that tree, and he's going to prune it, which might not be enjoyable. But he's still going to take care, because he knows what it needs. We're trusting that. We're surrendering to that. He's going to water it. It's sometimes, to bear the sweetest fruit, the tree has to go through like a drought. He's going to nurture it. He's going to make sure that that tree gets the environment that it needs to produce the fruit that that tree needs to produce. And it's only when there's like this deep-rooted change that the full realization of good fruit can occur. The fruit is the treasure of the tree, right? It's unseen until it's ready. And so for the believer this morning, the fruit will be seen when our hearts are prepared. What's the fruit, though? What is the fruit? What's it look like? Jesus doesn't say, does he? He doesn't tell us. He doesn't give details, because the fruit is as unique as each one of us are, right? The fruit is different, just like we are different, guys. And this is intentional, I believe, that Jesus doesn't give this list of like these different kinds of things that show that you're bearing fruit right here. He's not, this sermon isn't designed for that because he knows that you'll probably just, that, you know, this is how we do it, right? We grab onto that and we walk away thinking, those are the five things. And if I don't have those five things, or if I don't have one of those five things, then I'm not bearing fruit. Is he bearing fruit? What about you? Are you bearing fruit? Like, he knows that this is how we work. So he's just going to leave it open. Like, that's not the point here. The emphasis is on establishing our roots in healthy soil. It's about being a tree that's in the best possible environment to bear fruit. Whatever that means for each of us individually, whatever that means. And he knows what that is if we would just surrender to him. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. You know, our treasure, our fruit, it's an identification marker, is what Jesus is saying. That the things that are on our hearts, those deep things, the things will come out. And Jesus is saying, just like you identify that tree, just like you can see it and identify that it's healthy by the fruit that it bears, it's the same for individuals. The fruit's going to be visible evidence of a healthy tree. And the fruit is going to be visible evidence of a follower of Christ, right? There should be something that separates us from the world, from everybody else around. So, verse 46. Now he's going to start getting into it, right? He's really established. Okay, we got it, right? We're supposed to bear fruit. I got it. It's clear. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's a scary thing to think about. He's speaking to believers. And the word that he uses here for Lord is Kyrios, which is a term used for like the greatest respect possible. It's referring to God himself. The Messiah is what it refers to. So this is like, he's saying, you guys, you're proclaiming me. You're why do you call me Messiah? Why do you call me Savior? Why do you call me the Son of God and then you still don't do what I say? So we got a crowd of like full-on believers here because they are. They're saying, Lord, Lord, Messiah, Savior, Son of God, Jesus. You are the Son of God. And he's saying, you accepted me. You accepted me as Messiah. But yet something's still holding you back from realizing your true potential in Jesus, in Christ, right? From something's holding you back from producing fruit. For some reason, they cannot, insert ourselves. For some reason, we cannot get past our own hang-ups, right? Like, we have patterns of thinking. We have patterns of behavior, maybe certain habits or things that are just fun or pleasurable for us that we don't want to give up, things that are entertaining, and maybe it's an attitude that we hold on to that we enjoy, right? And we can't shake that. It's a path, Jesus is saying. It's a path that we've chosen. And you believe what I say, right? You believe my words written in this book here, but why don't you do them? Why don't you do them, what I just said? Can you kind of like sense the heartbreak there? Can you imagine this, that he's pleading? These are people who believe in him, but yet they still just aren't there, right? And I think if we honestly answer that, I think what we find is most times the reason that we don't do what he says is just because it's easier not to, right? I mean, it's the path of least resistance. But if we believe in Jesus, if we are going to say that we believe in him, then who cares about that? Who cares? You know, C.S. Lewis once said, if there's an entire crowd and it's running toward a cliff, and one man is running away from the cliff, he's the one that looks crazy, right? I mean, are we going to trade what we know Jesus says just for how we feel, right? How we feel is the crowd running towards the cliff, guys. It's paths that we choose. So Jesus is setting this up for story number two, and he's spelling it out for us. He's gonna really lay it out for us here. So verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he's like. Hold up right there. So here's the connection between the two stories. Because the story of the trees and the story of the good fruit allows us to ask the question like, okay, where am I? It's like a self-reflection, right? Where am I? But this part allows us to identify where we're at. Because the first one's a question, but this should be an answer. That maybe, okay, here's the reason why I'm not bearing fruit. And he says this, right in the very beginning, everyone who does what? Everyone who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. Or maybe, you know, the version that you're using of the Bible says, does them or puts into practice, right? So the first thing, come to Jesus. He who comes to me, Jesus says, it's our choice. It's our choice, right? And the Greek word that's used there means to find a place and to become influenced in that place. So to come to Jesus means that we're looking for something different that, you know, we haven't been able to find. We're out, we're doing whatever it is to try to find peace, to try to find rest in our life, but yet we still can't find it. And Jesus is saying, hey, come, just come. Find this place and become influenced in this place. So we're looking for something solid here, right? And God's not, Jesus isn't going to force his will on you. Like, he calls us, he leads us, but when it comes down to God, he allows us the free will to choose. So then, after you've made that choice, after there's that path, right, he says, those who hear me, those who hear Jesus, and that means to consider him. Doesn't mean that he's saying, listen to what I say, you submit, you obey to my words right now. That's not what he's saying. Instead, he's saying, would you consider these things that I've been speaking about? Would you consider them? You know, you say that you believe in me. So could you just consider what I have to say, that it's important, that it's true? And then after thinking about it, would you accept it as truth? Would you accept it as truth and then allow this to become that treasure that's buried in your heart? And then finally, the third thing he says is to do what? To act on it, right? To act on it. I mean, so the Greek word is poeo. So you guys are getting a total lesson this morning, I know. Poeo. It means to make. Well, that's odd, isn't it? So essentially, he's saying, everyone who comes to me and hears my words makes something with them? Does that even make sense to anyone? So what's he saying there? It's pretty cool, really. He's saying, all right, our God is a creative God, right? He makes beautiful things. We are made in his image. So we have within us this quality too. And when we are living the life as a follower of Christ, something is going to come from it. Something comes from it. And Jesus says, come to me, hear me, and now act, now make, now poeo. What does an apple tree make? Apples, right? What does a grapevine make? grapes. So then this is the fruit that Jesus was referring to in the first story. He's saying, if you're going to come, if you will come, if you will, if you will consider and accept my words, and then finally, if you will live it out, how I say, then you're going to realize the true potential in your life. The fruit is what will come out when we take the next step to surrender to the call that God has in our lives. See, the opportunities are endless for us. Like Jesus says, if you're going to do this, you come, you hear, you act. There's a benefit to that. There's a benefit, a huge benefit. And what's the benefit? 48. If you do this, you're like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it has been well built. This is the outcome of being engaged as a follower of Jesus. Like, it's that solid footing, which is so vital. I mean, notice here, though, the work involved, right? Jesus isn't saying that it's easy, and he's not saying that it's going to come quick. So you got this picture of a guy building a house, and if you've ever done that, you know how much work is involved, right? But the man in the story, he did what? He dug deep, man. He dug deep. He went down deep, and he laid his foundation on a solid rock. So let's just recognize for a second what Jesus is saying right here, because it's very plain. He's saying that he is the solid rock, right? There's no question about this. He is referring to himself as the foundation to all that is true, plain and simple. And what happened after this man, he took his time, right? After all the effort, I'm sure the pain, the soreness, like the long days, the long nights, he's dealing with contractors, permits. He painted every room, and then his wife wanted the paint changed, and he's got to start over again. What happens after that? He got to live a life of peace and quiet, right? No. What happened? The torrent burst against that house. But look. It could not shake it because it had been built so well. You know, last year I got called to an emergency job, and it was a flooding emergency. And what had happened is that there was a lot of rain, and the creeks in this area started to flood. And as the creeks flooded, they started pulling a lot of logs down. And there's this one particular creek, and that creek snakes down through a ravine, and then it has this real narrow channel that was cut into the rock, and that was the waterfall. And as those logs came, they jammed up. They like just jammed up behind there, and they backed up this whole ravine with water. And I was told by some of the people that saw it that it looked like a lake, right? So then, down below this waterfall, about 400 feet, I'd say, is a little community. And this is on Seneca Lake. And the community was experiencing flooding, but it was pretty obvious that, like, this creek isn't flooding maybe how we would expect it, because we've seen this go through this cycle before. And so they hear the rain pouring, and there's three specific places that were at that outlet of that creek, right? And so as the ravine backed up and the water pressure increased, finally those logs burst through, and what it did is it sent like a tidal wave, and it just took out full trees, hundreds of full-grown trees were wiped out as the water came. And it just flooded this area. And the first place that it hit was a trailer. And there was a couple in the trailer. And when they heard the rain, they're like, you know what? They're calling for flooding. Let's go. And so they left. That trailer was swept right away. I mean, right into the lake, gone. Like, nothing left of it. And then there's a little cottage that was over here. And this couple like rented the cottage for the weekend, and they're in there and it's raining and the guy's dog is like whimpering and whining, and he gets up to let the dog out and he's standing in a foot of water. And he's like, oh, we better get out of here. He grabs his wife and they start running. By the time they got a couple hundred feet away from the cottage, they were in waist deep water, and the cottage is just sucked right out into the lake, gone, like just gone. There's nothing. And then finally, the third house that was there was this big, gorgeous Victorian. I mean, it's one of the oldest houses in that section of the lake. And this thing, what they had done is it was built mid-1800s, and they had built the foundation out of the solid stone that they had gotten out of the hill, and they built it high. They like built that foundation extra, and it looked goofy. Like when you pulled up, like, why is that thing perched up there like this? That water came, and that house got the full brunt of that water. And as it came down through there, 8 to 10 feet of water went through that house. And it was still standing. And it stood it. I mean, it totally stood. It was a mess. They had feet of mud inside the house, but it was standing. And so the owners, they call a structural engineer because they figured this place is gone. There's no saving it. And they came in and they looked at it, and they said that house had not moved an inch. If it moved at all, it was just not even worth thinking about, right? It took all of that. And it was because, you know, the structural engineer, he was just blown away by it, as he said, the time, the care that the guys took then to make sure that this was done right, because they knew building close to this creek that, who knows, it could flood. And they took that extra time to cut those stones tight, to fit them as tight as they could, and to build it extra tall, and to use really big ones on the bottom, and it paid off. It paid off over 100 years later, right? And so what Jesus is saying is that a solid foundation is so, so essential, that everything else that you do is built off of that. Every decision that we make, every path that we choose is based off of our foundation. So Jesus is saying, take my words, consider them, think about them, and if you are applying them and you are considering them and you are hearing me, then you are building a solid foundation for when that storm hits. So what if we don't, right? What if we just trade what we know for what we feel? Jesus spells that out too. In verse 49, he says, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. It's like that trailer. There was no foundation. It wasn't even tied down. It just floated away. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. So, good or bad situation? Bad. Like, you don't have flood insurance, okay? It's a total loss. So, did you catch the first line there? But the one who has heard and not acted accordingly. So, hold on. So, the one who's heard but not acted. So, he's saying that, okay, it's the one who's come, right? They've come and they've accepted Jesus. And they've heard, right? So, they considered it. They thought about it. And they said, absolutely, yes, this is true. This is the truth. But then they stopped right there, and they never got to that acting, the poeo, the making part. They never stepped into that realm. It's like the earlier story. It's like the tree that never bears the fruit. It's still hidden. That treasure is still hidden in the ground. So was the guy in the house, you know, that had the house that was wiped out, was he, did God just like, you're done, wipe him off the planet? No, doesn't tell us that, right? Was this guy punished who didn't build a good foundation? Was he punished at all? Does Jesus tell us that? No. How about, was he condemned for not building a good foundation? No. But his ruin was great, it says. So what was his ruin? His ruin was that he never got to fully realize his potential. He never got to bear good fruit. And Jesus wants to make it clear that as followers of him, if we come to him seeking what the world doesn't offer, that if we hear and then we accept his words as truth, and then if we just stop right there and we never venture any further, we'd never go deeper, we never take that step to poeo, to act, to make something of our faith, then we're the ones who are going to suffer the greatest loss. See, Jesus isn't looking for followers here because it makes him feel happy and important, right? He's not assembling some army. He's looking for followers because he genuinely and deeply loves his creation and he wants what's best for us. And so he gives us these words to cause us to really look at ourselves and our relationship with him and then question, am I making the right choices? Like every single day, the paths that are before me, and I have to decide which way to go. And what it becomes is a choice between saying and doing, or being and doing, more importantly. And Jesus wants us to recognize that to engage in the doing part of it, or the making, the poeo, is to realize our potential. I mean, these two parables, they tie together, and they have us as believers ask, like, what way am I going, right? For each of us, our fruit is going to be different. Like, each of us will bear a unique fruit if we go this far. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that how many different kinds of fruit could there be if we all went this far, if we all tried it? The solid words, the foundation that's found in Jesus Christ. So, like I said earlier, like, look at this. Look at his sermon. Look at it in Luke. Go look at it in Matthew. And just take a look at it and really consider his words. And let them become solid rock for you. You know, we base our lives on decisions. And it's so important that we know what we base them off of. I mean, this pleases God, guys. It pleases God to see it, but it's for our highest good. I mean, he does it really for our benefit. So he puts before us this picture, right? We have a picture of a kingdom. It's the upside down kingdom. It's a kingdom that's nothing like ours. A kingdom where we've seen, as we look through this sermon, where the poor get blessed, where the hungry are always full, where the sad will be happy, a kingdom where holding on to Jesus is more important than holding on to anything that we find in this world, a kingdom where loving each other is practiced, a kingdom where there are no unfair judgments that occur. Treatment is fair, right? A kingdom where the love that you have in your heart is returned to you. This is the kingdom that Jesus is preaching about. Can you imagine that lived out? Can you imagine that lived out? Can you imagine the impact on the world that would make? Seeing all this kind of fruit come forth. Can you imagine that? Because that's what the early church was doing. Is they just immerse themselves into who Jesus was. And that's why it spread the way it spread. All this fruit that they were bearing. And so it just blows my mind to think about how that would look right now if we tried that. You know, these are things that Jesus is calling us to hold on to. These are things that they will come to reality. Okay, do you believe that? That one day when we see him face to face, that that kingdom that I just said is going to come to reality. It's going to happen. It's going to be fully realized in Jesus' kingdom. Jesus says, our reward will be great in heaven in this sermon. And heaven is a prepared place. And Jesus is making us, with his teachings, a prepared people. If we would choose the right path, if we would come, if we would hear, and then if we would act on it. Amen? Amen. Father, we do just